Hello, folks, and welcome back to the Wrestling Podcast. That's wrestling spelled W-R-S-T-L-I-N-G. It's all the graps without the E, but of course, me and G, we're not anti-E, we're simply pro-wrestling. My name is Liam, this guy is Gareth.
Hey!
And yes, folks, this is indeed a second episode, two for two now since the restart, if you like. So we're trying to keep the content coming your way, and delighted this time to be back on the interview trail with somebody we've wanted to speak to for ages, which is Mr. Dan Reed, one of the promoters of Pro Wrestling Eve.
Yes, another one of those ones that's been a long time coming. Slowly but surely, we put the pieces together and we finally got him. And, you know, sat down with Dan to talk all things Pro Wrestling Eve. As I'm sure you've heard us discuss before, you know, we've been to our fair share of Eve shows. We really enjoy it as a promotion. So much great up and coming talent there. So many great people being brought over from Japan, the States, you know, all over the world. And then a great bunch of veteran UK indie talent as well. If you're not watching, now's the perfect time.
Truly, truly, because I really think, you know, if you're looking at what makes the UK scene special in 2023, I think it's the women's roster that we have. Absolutely. Over here. We have an embarrassment of riches, and, you know, Eve is the place to see all that happen. You know, it's very special in that regard. So we were delighted to have Dan on. Really interesting to get his takes on the pro wrestling industry, putting together a show, what goes into it, and his role as a promoter. Mm. And that's a lot more multifaceted than I certainly thought it was going into this conversation. So, you know, a really good learning experience for us as well, I think, as well as fans. So
absolutely.
Anyway, without further ado, because we do talk for a little while, let's jump on over to the Wrestling Podcast meets Dan Reed. Okay, folks, so here we are. We are live with the one half of the ownership of Pro Wrestling Eve. That is Dan Reed. Dan, welcome to the show.
Cheers for having us. Long time listener, first time talker, caller.
Oh, no way.
You're too kind. Oh, we appreciate that. So we got loads and loads to get through, but we have to start with the fact that, to my knowledge, you know, you're one of the only promotions that are going to be running a sold out show at All In Weekend as it stands. How are you feeling about
is progress? Not sold out.
I don't think so. Not yet.
They will.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
But, you know,
it's a massive size difference. You know, it's like, it's all well and good me being like, oh, yeah, no, but it's bullshit because it's, you know, like the afternoon venue, the Yard Theatre is tiny, but that's actually the cool thing about the Yard Theatre is its size and the fact that, like, it was meant that, like, I could create this authentic Choco Pro as authentic as I can. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like I could stick in a big venue, you could stick in a big, but then that's not it. Do you know what I mean? Like that's not, you know, and I want to do my best to try to bring, you know, Ichigaya to London. And, you know, like some of my best experiences when we were in Japan, actually the most fun experiences, we saw so much wrestling. It was supposed to be our fucking honeymoon. Ended up being a work gig. we saw so much wrestling when we were in Japan because we were out there during Golden Week.
That's the time to do it.
Right? And coincidentally, that is actually just, you know, the wives and I, you know, we got together on May the 1st and we were married on May the 2nd. Not the same year, obviously.
Whirlwind romance.
Always meant that our anniversaries were 2 days so that, you know, we wouldn't just get one day as an excuse, you know, for doing whatever. It would mean that we'd always have a couple. So
that's nice.
And of course, that's when Golden Week always is. Yeah. It's that first, you know, end of April, first week of May. And we saw so much wrestling, but the most unique and most fun experiences, with all due respect to everyone else, was those. It was just Ghetto Move. It was pre-Chocker Pro, but it's the same deal, really. And so to be able to do that, like the Yard Theatre was perfect for it. Did mean that I had to like push the prices up, but even then, I should have. If I was being real, I needed to have fucking doubled those prices.
Yeah, if you were being really mercenary about it, you'd be like...
Well, if I was just trying to, you know, like, if I was just trying to be smart business-wise and, You know, like, you know, don't take a genius. Look how many people there. Look how many people are flying in fucking August. Yeah, you know, like, it's just do the maths, you know, and then factor in that they're here for a week. Imagine, you can imagine what the apartment rental costs for a week in fucking London in August. Ugh. You know, like, just do the maths. But it's one of those things where it's like, this is cool. This is an experience.
And yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, that's the cool. And then we're at the dome, which is obviously, you know, three times the size. Mm. And that will be sold. There's no way that won't be sold. Like, that's not sold out at the moment, but it will be. Mm. But even then, at three times the size, it's like half the size of, depending on what the layout is of the ballroom. You know, like, I think the layout recently has been closer to 5 or 6 or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I could be wrong, so I don't want to be talking like I'm offending anyone. but, like, you know, it's there's a lot going on that day.
I'm massively sure
that everyone's going to do, you know, well. I just felt for the fans. I deliberately timed those shows so that there was, if you were going to Rev Pro, the Yard Theatre is literally 7 minutes walk from Copper Box. And if you're going to Progress, and we're before the Rev Pro show, and if you clash with the Progress to Fire show, because you can't not clash with something.
Oh yeah, of course.
Like, but if you're going to go to Rev Pro, you can see this prior. If you're going to go to Progress, well, we've got the 9 p.m. show, which is after both the Progress shows are finished, and that's one stop from Camden. So, you know, you're talking 7 minute walk, and then 2 minutes on the train.
Yeah.
You know, separately, 7 minute walk or 2 minutes on the train. Those are your options. So,
yeah,
I'm sure it's going to be cool, like, for everyone.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's going to be an absolutely bonkers weekend in the best way possible. Something like, it's going to be close to 80,000 wrestling fans in the city all at once.
It's going to be mad. And one of the fun things for us is that we're bringing along a friend of ours whose only exposure to wrestling has been AEW. So he started watching on episode 1 because he happened to be staying at my house that night and got hooked on it. But that's all he's seen. So he's coming to Wembley. But we thought, you know, for the Saturday, wouldn't it be fun to take him to the other end of that spectrum and two very intimate shows. So we're doing both of the Chocker Pro and the Chocker Pro Eve show. So I can't wait to get his gauge on, you know, seeing it so up close relative to seeing it the next day when we're going to be needing binoculars, but it's still going to be fun nonetheless.
Yeah, that'll be huge. I always loved this. What the thing about Eve that's always been a target point, and it's the thing that's also allowed us to be what we've been, is the fact that we get that non-wrestling audience as well.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a deliberate target, always has been. I really hate this gatekeeping. Like, well, there used to be a couple of guys, and I'll say it because I said it to him at the time, but I thought they were being really, you know, dickish. It was the Love the Graps guys, Alan, and they were good supporters. Don't get me wrong, because I don't want to sound like, because they came to, you know, so many shows, but on one of their podcasts, they were like moaning about the non-wrestling fans being there and how many there were there. And they were like, you know, and they're so loud as well. And they're like, you know, they should really just, like, be quiet, you know, come to a few shows and, you know, learn the rules of going to wrestling shows.
Just
like, fuck off. They've paid their money. They're out for a night out. They're being respectful. Do you know what I mean? They're not being dicks to the wrestlers. They're getting involved just because they don't know how to do the fucking chants or whatever it is, the way that you like them to be done or whatever. Or they don't, you know. And also, it's great when you've got, you know, people that aren't wrestling fans at a show, because that's when you learn what people that aren't wrestling fans are interested in.
Absolutely.
And how they would become wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. If we keep targeting and doing the same shit over and over and over again, how are you going to create new wrestling fans? Because those wrestling fans are just going to peter off. So you got to be like, well, what do people want? What do people like? Not just wrestling fans. What do other, you know, we weren't born wrestling fans. We became wrestling fans, so something got us all into it. So let's try to find what it is that will get others into it, you know. I think everyone is a wrestling fan, they just don't know it yet, and they just haven't had it exposed to them in the right way, that, you know, or at the right time, the way that, you know, speaks to them, because it's just another form of storytelling. That's it. It's storytelling. It's just another form of storytelling.
To speak to that, I know we've been stood or sat next to, you know, people that have not been to wrestling before at shows, and watching their reactions as well as the action is often some of the most entertaining stuff, like seeing people react to stuff. And then, but also recently for my stag do, we took a load of non-wrestling fans to a show, and they came away loving it. Everyone was asking me, like, where can we watch more of this in our hometowns? And, you know, everyone was absolutely going crazy for Danny Luna. And yeah, it was such a treat. And I really loved the fact that, hopefully stepping away from that, it's created about a dozen new wrestling fans.
That's cool. I mean, I'll always remember. I'm just literally in the process at the moment of uploading some of the older shows to our members only section of our YouTube. And one of the shows that I'm uploading, I remember, I would always like to be in the midst of the audience at the Resgal when shows were happening, because there was so, like, the non-wrestling fans outnumbered the wrestling fans always at Resgal. And there were people who became E-fans, but they had no idea about any other wrestling. I remember when we set up EVE Academy, and a number of the women that would come to the EVE shows would then try out EVE Academy. And Greg, one of the trainers, would be like, so you know when John Cena does this? And they'd be like, who's John Cena? You know, like, and it's just like, that's so cool. But one of the shows that I'm uploading at the moment, the opening match is Livy Grace versus Laura Di Matteo. And the opening move of that is Livy doing a John Woo running dropkick. And I remember just like when she did that, and it's just a running dropkick for us as wrestling fans. But I just remember the audience losing their shit. And I just remember these guys just like their eyes went wide. And one guy just like looked at his mate like, what the fuck was that? And it was just so cool, you know, to see that as opposed to when you're doing, you know, shows for just hardcore wrestling fans. A number of them can just be sat on their hands, be like, cool, clap, clap, clap.
Yeah, yeah.
Now what? And, you know, it's not like every audience is like that, but you do get audiences like that who are like the you know, some of the diehards. And it's just like, well, you tell me what you'd prefer. If you was a wrestler, you tell me what audience you'd prefer. The audience, you know, that's just like, oh, clap, clap, clap. Yes, that was a very good, you know, Spanish fly through a table. Yeah, no. Oh, wow. You know, or the audience that just lost their shit over it and aren't wrestling fans, but they're having the best fucking night. And then you combine those where everyone starts learning off of one another, and like that atmosphere from those, you know, non-fans that are now losing their minds kind of like takes over the rest of the audience as well. And that makes, you know, the rest of the audience alive a bit, you know, lean into it a little bit more.
It's
and just
really
like
infectious.
Let go a little bit. Yeah, infectious. Yeah.
It's true. Look, we were up, the last EVE show we were at was the one with Natsu and Takase on it. And we were sat in front of, there's a whole row of folks that they're dressed up like they'd just come from an office or something, but you got the sense that this was their first show. And they were hilarious to listen to because they were just sort of interpreting all this stuff for the first time.
What show was that?
It was the one with Samir Natsu on it. Not the, there were two on that weekend. It was the first one. Trying to remember what the headline.
Oh,
was.
So this was at 229?
I think it may. Yes, sorry, it was at 229. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, did we do an afternoon and an evening or something like that? Yeah, so I remember that was a weird show. So it's called, yeah, because there was a number, but I think one thing that was you know, weird about that was I think a lot of the hardcore wrestling fans kind of got grouped together, and then a number of like the non-wrestling fans that are on the night out got grouped together, and I think it caused a bit of a weird atmosphere.
Okay.
Because normally, like, you kind of get them all integrated. I think it was just like the seats for that one just flew so quickly. It's one of the reasons why I really love the Yard. It's because everyone just kind of like gets mixed in with one another. I say that, and the obviously there's not going to be any like non-wrestling fans at the Yard show, the Chocolate Bro Yard show, because that just all went straight to the wrestling fans that are already
apart from my mate Seb.
Apart from your mate Seb, you know, like that's going to mainly be all hardcore wrestling fans who are going to be well up and seeing something completely unique and different. But yeah, it's one of the reasons why I love the Yard Theatre, is because like we get like a real mix of non-fans and wrestling fans. and they're all, you know, mixed in with one another. And so you get this beautiful, and what's nice there is it's like, you know, you make friends, you know, you meet new people, you know, and it's just, yeah, it's really cool. I like having those mixed audiences as opposed to just like only hardcore wrestling fans that, you know, want to be impressed as opposed to are there for fun.
Yeah, no, I get that. And is that, because we hear a lot on the internet about the casual fan. I'm never quite sure what that means these days. Like, is that what we're talking about here? Do you think, you know, these fans?
No, I think casual fans are people that like maybe watch wrestling every now, because if you're casual, you're not a non-fan, are you? If it's just by definition of the word casual.
Yeah.
So we're either changing the meaning of the word casual, or, you know, or we're talking about, you know, or people are using the wrong word, or people are, you know, it's people on, when people say it's like, oh, you want to attract the casuals, I mean, just like casual people, normal people, people that aren't casual wrestling fan, what is, you know, so I think it just more requires the people to be a bit more specific as to what they're referring to. But like, you know, Eve gets the people that are, it gets the people that are there for a night out or for a different show, you know, or just, you know, to enjoy themselves, and it gets wrestling fans. I don't know where the word casual would come in, because I don't stand on the door asking them, do you watch wrestling regularly? You know, would you define yourself as a regular watching wrestling fan? Or have you watched it once or twice? Enough to call yourself as a casual fan if you're skipping through the channels. Would you consider stopping on it? Do you know what I mean? It's just like, I think that can just be overthought, or just the word gets muddled up with what it is they're actually meaning.
Yeah, fair enough. No, that makes a ton of sense. So let's jump back to this Choco Pro thing, because I'm fascinated to hear about how this came about. What can you talk us through a little bit about where the idea came from and
not interest. It's basic. Literally, it was a case of AEW announced that I didn't have a show planned that weekend. Right. I had a show like two weekends later. I had like the August 13th show at the Yard, which is you know, coming up in just under two. I don't know when this goes out, but you know, for me, it's coming up in the next week and a bit. And then after that, I believe it was September the 3rd or something along those lines. And then AEW announced a show, and it's just like, well, I'd be fucking stupid to not do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, and it was, and I just was like, okay, this would be a cool time to do this, because I don't know if Emmy's going to be on AEW. If this is a pay-per-view, I think we know the answer is likely not, you know, and it's not that she don't deserve to be. No. We all know she deserves to be, but we also watch the show, maybe because of all the backlash over the Dynamite match between Ty Valkyrie and Britt Baker. You know, like all of a sudden Mercedes Martinez was on Collision, you know, like 2 days later. It's just like, you know, that's not a coincidence. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not just like, oh shit, we got Mercedes. We just put Mercedes Martinez out there. When shit hits the fan, Mercedes Martinez out there. You know, that's nothing against the two competitors. It's more in response to, I think, that sign and just the online response. But, you know, maybe because of that, they'll be like, we better, you know, stick Emmy. Emmy's really, like, Emmy's liked that. Like, everyone wants to work with Emmy. It's the people I speak to. So, you know, I can't speak for everyone, but I know the people, that I speak to all want to work with Emmy.
I mean, even not sort of knowing anything beyond just how the vibe comes across on such a huge number of wrestlers' social media, she seems like everybody adores her, is certainly the vibe that's given out.
How can you not?
Yeah.
It's the thing. I think if you don't like Emi Sakura, that says more about you than her.
Yeah. Truly.
You know, so, I mean, I'm blessed to have known Emi for 12 years now. And, there's not a bad bone or a bad thing that anyone can say about Emi. And even if you don't know Emi, you know, the fact is her resume, her work ethic speaks for itself. So, you know, maybe there's a chance now, maybe there's a bigger chance now than there was. But it was just like, she can't not be here. That was literally like, I'll be honest, it was me thinking of my mate. That was what this was. And it's like, she can't not be here. It can't be that if she's, you know, she's booked or she's not booked, then she's not at least here for it. So I was just like, and I've always, we've spoken about doing Chocolate Brown in the UK before. It's just, you know, timing. So I was just like, this is the time. So I literally just sent them a message and was just like, you know, let's do it that weekend. And it was, that was it. There was no like, do you know what I mean? It was literally that, like, they're running that weekend. There's going to be a lot of wrestling fans all together. And that's the best time to do something that is a niche, you know, and it is a niche, you know, like women's wrestling is a niche of a niche in itself. And then when you go to something like that, it is also a niche of a niche of, you know, so you kind of need it to be where you've got everyone all together. So, and that was one of that, like, it's one of those things that kind of like probably surprises people, but you know, we all get caught in the wrestling bubble of online and thinking stuff is more popular than it actually is. Like the lowest drawing Eve Resgal show was the Stardom collab show.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Now the reason being is I only advertised that to wrestling fans. I didn't advertise it to people that aren't wrestling fans. Because in my mind it was just like, well, the wrestling fans will all want to come and see the Stardom collab show at the Resgal. Do you know what I mean? Or come down to see Stardom collab show at the Brighthelm Center in Brighton. And you know, that year's, you know, and then we had the Wrestle Kingdom 2 show the next day, which did significantly less, you know, attendance than the previous year's Wrestle Kingdom. And you know, it's one of those things where it's like I got caught up in the whole, you know, what it seemed, you know, in the bubble. I got caught up in the bubble of these are, you know, look at all these wrestling fans that love this, and I love this as well. So it'd be really cool if we all get together and love this together. And ultimately, I paid the price for it, you know, quite significantly. So it was one of those things that I've always been aware of since then. Is if it's all bullshit when you see all people online saying how much they support women's wrestling and how they would love to go see it. It's all bullshit. And it's the reason why I can say that is I've done this for the first ever women's wrestling show I promoted was January 2007.
Right.
And that was rescheduled from an end of 2006. So I've literally been promoting, you know, women's wrestling shows since 2006. Right. And a load of people online that say they support women's wrestling will go to it. They don't at all. If they did, Shimmer would have been more than just two weekends a year, because Shimmer's product was outstanding wrestling. Right. But it wasn't, because it's all bullshit about how people, you know, it's all looking, the amount of times I'll get wrestling fans on Twitter that will at me and they'll say, you should use, and then they'll put a women's wrestler's name. You should use them on your shows. And it's just like, yeah, they've been on the shows for like the last 3 years. So it's not a case that you're not watching me. You're not even watching them.
Yeah.
Because if you were watching them, you'd know where they worked. What it is you're just wanting interaction from a girl. That's what it is. Yeah. You're just wanting interaction from a woman on social media to click like, you know, that's what it is. Mm. And you're dealing with a lot of that in women's wrestling. So, and I made the mistake of getting caught up in that bubble of, you know, look at all these wrestling fans that like this wrestling and I like this wrestling. When actually there's a very small number of people that are then going to be able to go and see these things that are, do you know what I mean? That are actually prepared to travel and watch these things.
Yeah.
So how do you differentiate between, you know, the bubble and what might work? Like, yeah, as you've gone on, like what do you look for now in terms of who you bring in? Or,
well, there's still a case of like, I've just got a basis where I still have a value to the product that is put out. So do I need to bring in certain people to draw
you know, or, you know, the equivalent, the same number? No. Do I, because I value the product? You know, yes. Do I, because I also value the idea of, like, there's two different things. Like, if you, I want everyone from around the world to be able to watch the best women's wrestling. I also care about the point and what it is that we're doing. I also care about the method. I mean, that's how this started, as the idea is of caring about putting a women's wrestling product out there that made people go, oh shit, this ain't like, you know, like I thought it was. This is actually really, really good. It's just the presentation of wherever else I've been seeing hasn't matched. And so you can watch, you can subscribe to, like, Eve on YouTube, and you'll see some of the best women's wrestling in the world. And you will. And for, you know, a period of time, we were the best in the world. That's not me saying that. All the talent from around the world will tell me that. And the, you know, there was just like this incredible golden period of Eve. And we're in the process of, like, you know, getting, you know, like the between NXT UK and obviously the pandemic, you know, the whole independent scene was fucking hit. And, you know, now I'm back at that point where it's just like, Jesus, I want to get all these people on the shows and I can't, you know, there's only so many spots, which is great position to find yourself in. It's great.
Sure, sure.
And end up with these shows with the quality of the performers that, that we have now, and these incredible matches that we're having, like that freaking Iron Woman match between Mia Yamashita and Millie McKenzie. Just
what a great match to be able to have on a, you know, any show around the world, basically.
Exactly, you know, and it's one of those where it's just like, you know, as much as the people that are there on a night out, the people that aren't wrestling fans there are, you know, don't know anything about the people, they still know what they're watching is good and when it's not good. I think some people forget about that. And if you've got a great product out there, then what a great message you're sending out there. And also it means that people around the world will go, oh shit, this is good. I want to subscribe to this. I want to pay for this. I want to watch this more regularly. So it's just a case of having a product that speaks to, tries to speak to everyone and present something for everyone. End of the day, if it's good wrestling, it'll get over with anyone. Yeah. If it's, you know, good workers, you know, doing good wrestling, you know, it'll get over with anyone. So
with, because one of the things that I really, really appreciate about Eve is that you brought in some wrestlers. Because my thing is, I love finding, I'm always interested in what's new. So, you know, right now I'm very much into the Aussie scene, doing a bit of a deep dive on the promotions that are coming out in Southeast Asia, and there's a lot going on there. And on Eve shows, you get these wrestlers from time to time, like Sarah Leone, who came over from RCW Spain. You had Nora Diana like a few years back, that probably don't carry the same weight in terms of moving tickets, but you know,
hardly anyone moves tickets, is the truth.
Okay, that's interesting. So where do they, for one of these lesser known names, like, how do they get on your radar? Is it a case of them contacting you, or are you sort of scary?
Yeah, I mean, I may find out about them, you know, through other ways, but I don't reach out to anyone that hasn't reached out to me. And it's just out of respect. If someone's made an effort to contact me, then they're wanting to get on the shows. You know, then it says that, you know, they've seen the shows, they want to get on the shows, and they've made an effort. If someone hasn't reached out to me, then why should I prioritize someone that, you know, wants to work for us over someone that, you know, I mean, they might want to work for us, but they haven't reached out to us. This person's gone to the effort of reaching out to us, you know, so I'll prioritize them. Now, does that mean everyone that reaches out gets on the shows? No, of course not. Because there's still, you know, there's a number of people, and with all due respect to them, I appreciate them shouting, and I'll reply to them, look, you know, keep us informed, keep sending us, you know, more up-to-date stuff. But it's just not something that I can stick on the show right now. Sometimes it'll be, there'll be some, you know, lesser experienced talent on, but because you can see that they've got something, and you know, if I stick them on with this person, they'll be able to learn this. Like, a lot of the wrestling booking that is done at this level, it's really hard to do fucking tight storyline wrestling outside of basic win-loss records. It's a reason, one of the reasons why I have like the top 15 rankings and the win-loss records and shit like that, is because that's simpler stuff to keep on top of that anyone can follow. Like I remember when I was doing the, I ended up doing the ring announcing for one of the one of the Eve shows, and when I announced that Millie, it was Millie versus Rio, I think it was, and when I announced that Millie was number three and that Rio was number two, mm-hmm. it got a bit, you know, on the introductions, it got a big, oh, and it got it from the people that hadn't, weren't wrestling fans. Yeah,
sure.
Because yeah. they understood, oh, this is a big one. This yeah. is number three versus number two. So you've instantly got a story there. The reason why it's harder to do like more intricate storylines on independent shows is, number one, you're not week to week, you know, even if you're, you know, running, you know, on average two or three shows a month, you know, you're not week to week. So there's time for forgetting. The other thing is you are dealing with people who haven't done this and done these kind of, you know, storylines before. And a lot of them haven't got characters that they even understand yet. Mm. They're very much just, you know, they're not TV defined. They're not 3D defined characters because they're still trying to find who their characters are.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of what you're doing when you're booking matches is you're trying to put together, you know, a semblance of story that makes sense to the story of the show that anyone can follow and jump into and get into without being like, oh, well, I missed this, so I don't really know what's going on. Mm. But also putting people in with people that they're going to learn from or pick something up from. Yep. And it doesn't mean that it's always like veteran against, you know, youngster or something on those lines, because it could be that what this person's good at, this person's not. So you hope that by putting them together, they'll be able to pick up, you know, from the other and learn a little bit more from the other.
Yes.
It's hard to explain unless you're in the business.
Mm-hmm.
But that is kind of like a lot what goes into. So that's a number of what the matchmaking style that I'll be doing. It's just like, I'm not just thinking about, oh, you know, this is fucking great storyline. This is, which is what most independent promotions are. They fucking do my head in. They're all a bunch of useless cunts, right? Like they are fucking they're the worst fucking people.
No, Dan, we brought you on here to be honest. Come on, like, no, don't give us your watered down opinion, please.
No, they're fucking they're fucking useless. They're, all it is they're playing with their action figures, but with real wrestlers. They don't actually know what they're doing. They just still think, oh, if I ran a wrestling promotion, it'd be, and it's not all of them, obviously, but it is a lot of them. They're just playing with wrestling figures, but using real people.
So on this, I was going to bring up UFC a bit later on, because I know you're a fan.
Yes.
The matchmaking style that you're talking about sounds to me not dissimilar to the way the UFC puts cards together, because there's not like a week-to-week storyline. You've got these sort of intra-show storylines almost, so you don't really need to have seen like the history of, you know, Conor McGregor to understand why Conor McGregor versus X is interesting. You kind of speak to that itself. And there's also other things that, you know, with the rankings and with the clock on that you guys use. I'm just wondering if the UFC or MMA more generally is, you know, a reasonable influence to you, or if that's just a bit of a coincidental bit of headcanon on my part.
The UFC, so it's a yes and no answer. I've always wanted to do this. I've never been a tech guy, and I've never had someone like Ash, who is just one of the most valuable people in EVE, who I just, honestly, what Ash does for us, I could never pay him enough, put it that way. And someone that's been able to be like, you know, when I challenge him to do something, you know, he'll throw a strop and want to kill me, but he will... But bless him, he'll fucking find a way to do it.
Yeah.
Even if he's trying to create new tech or something, the guy's, you know, he's brilliant. So these are all things that I've wanted to do, but I've never had really like the ability until like getting, you know, meeting the right people. Like even the camera crew, the guys that I'm working with now, Andy Ward puts in, you know, with all due respect to everyone else, but Andy cares, man. And it's great because, of course, Mark Shuttle, who was doing camera previously, you know, prior to the pandemic, obviously now lives in Germany working for WXW full time. So to now have Andy and someone that wants to work and, you know, improve on things and trying to make things work. you know, it literally is just a case of having the people come together at a time where it's just like, oh, okay. And then just some other bits like me learning some bits and pieces. Like I've literally, I've got Vegas up at the moment and I'm doing some editing and doing some retrospective additions and some putting some clocks on some older matches and whatnot. Because it's really just a case of time. These are all just additional storytelling devices. Mm-hmm. Like they're not all about rankings, but the rankings helps. And the other thing was, is most trainer schools don't teach promos and they certainly don't teach the girls individual promos. And so my whole thing is I can literally send someone to go record some promos with the girls. And if they don't know what to say, look at the rankings. Mm-hmm. Now you know what to say. Are you ranked? If you're not ranked, how are you going to get ranked? If you're in the top 15 to 11, you want to get into that top 10. So do a promo, you know, saying that you want to get in. And, you know, if you're 10 to 6, now you know. If you're 5 to 1, do you know what I mean? There is always something. And this is what I mean about when it comes to trying to get people to learn on the job, because that's what it is. There's no you go to wrestling college and then you graduate and you are a wrestler, which is what most people treat it like when you see people talking to wrestlers on online or just talking amongst themselves. They think, oh, they should do it. It's just like, this is the college, this is the education. You know, and it's not just like, oh, well, when you get to WWE, that's, you know, you've no, you haven't. That is still your education. That's still your college. It's not like when you get to TJPW or start. No, that you are still in the educate. That's why we see the youngsters grow up and through. And so much of the booking is based on trying to create, you know, trying to get the performers to find their characters and find their voice. And trying to put them in with people that they won't just have good matches with, but will also come out with something else from. Yeah. You know, you look at the story that we've done with Sapphire Reed this year.
Yeah.
You know, like, I could have put Sapphire, you know, Mercedes Martinez on with someone else for a bigger match. But the investment there was in Sapphire, but it also matched the story. Because the story is about how Sapphire is... You know, she's come close every time. Sapphire has improved and she's learned from the previous match. The truth in that is because every time Sapphire improves and she learns. So I can only tell that story because I have someone like Sapphire to tell that with. But the goal would be there to, you know, try to have that with as many people as possible, where you put them in with this person and they learn and they pick up on and they do this. And that's the reason why the Mercedes Martinez and Sapphire Reed match was so good. You know, because we're also able to tell that story, but there was, you know, you're with someone that is going to actually be able to do that in real life. And that is what a lot of it is. It's like you're trying to teach and also create storytelling. That is not necessarily what it is when it comes to watching the television wrestling. That is following a script that is, you know, rehearsed, you know, matches that have been run by producers for most of the performers, not all, obviously. There is a lot more, you know, there, and yet people will judge people that are babies in the business based on what they see some of the best in the world on a highly produced television show do in comparison. It's a lot more raw when you're on the independent scene, and I suppose it's like, you know, like, this is college, and I see myself as a I don't know, whether it be like the head of the college that just wants the best for all the students and is trying to get all the students to be learning and come out of it with not just, you know, a pay packet, but also have an improve. Because the better all of these people get, the better my shows get.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's so interesting you said that, because there is a... Just listening to you talk throughout, the word that's been in my head has been coach. Like, it's almost like a coaching aspect to what you're saying.
Yeah. And that's a super, like, this is why I get really angry at, like, most other wrestling promotions, because I see them just using real people as wrestling figures.
Right.
And just doing it, because it's just like, what is anyone? This is why I hate triple threat matches, like, because triple threats, who's learning anything really when it's three, you know, trainees in there together? They're not. You're sticking them out there to fail. Yeah. Who's gaining anything there? Yeah. it's a hard thing because it's like most wrestling fans don't know why triple threats are really difficult, and I'm not trying to be patronizing there.
No.
It's just like I don't know how to do what your day-to-day job is. Do you know what I mean? And it'd be ignorant of me to try and go out there and say that I do when I don't. And it's just the same on this side, you know? People don't know how to do, you know, these jobs because they're not trained in these jobs. So sometimes, and you see a lot of people like talk, and they talk like they know the job, and they don't know the job. They know bits about the job. I know bits about people that stock shelves at Tesco, but I'm not going to know all the bits that they do, you know? but a load of people that are ignorant will probably just go, oh, they do is stock shelves. Well, there's probably a little bit more that they do as well. You know, and it's just, you know, like at this point, I just think that we have a responsibility as promoters to the talent and to the audience to be able to grow the talent and subsequently grow the product, especially when there's a cost of living crisis. People have paid out money. It doesn't matter whether you're £5 a ticket or £35 a ticket. You know, everyone's financial situation is different to somebody else's. So that £5 to them on a ticket for your show may be the equivalent of £35 for somebody else in a different financial, so, you know, on a ticket. But you still have the same responsibility to make the talent, you know, give them a match that is safe, that they're going to learn from, but it is also going to entertain the audience, you know, and give them their best, you know, value for money. And those are things that are always, you know, in my mind on anything that I'm doing.
It brings a couple of things to mind, you know, the fact that it feels like you only get better working with people who are more experienced than yourselves, who are better than yourselves, but also the fact that no wrestler really is a finished product. Like you're constantly changing and evolving, you know, you do see kind of wrestlers, characters that get stuck in this kind of arrested development where there's limitations imposed on them, like by the organization that they may wrestle for, that you're not allowed to change or grow any further. You have to be this same stock character week in, week out with no character development. That's one of the things I love about sort of independent wrestling is that you're always changing show to show, week to week, evolving.
Or trying to.
Yep.
You know, trying to encourage, because this is the other thing I think a lot of promoters will, you know, again, because they're playing wrestling figures with people, they try to put their stuff on others, and that's not always going to work. You've got to try to bring it out of them. And sometimes people, you know, a lot of the talent on the scene, because I have found personally that the people who got wrestling quicker were the people who had a theater or dance background.
Interesting.
Makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, when you're a wrestling fan, is you focus on the things that actually aren't that important because they're what, you know, they're like the high spots and things. That's not that these don't matter. They do, but it's about the context within that they're, you know, performed. When we'd ever get people who had a theater background, they'd understand how to make sure that people could see their face. They'd understand how that people could see them in general. They'd move different because they understood the details that then make the next part mean more. And they also generally are a little bit more confident in themselves, because when you're in the ring, 3 seconds feels like 3 minutes. And you can generally tell when someone's quite insecure, because they're like, got to move, got to do something. Can't stay still for three seconds. You know, and you can often see as well that they might be like thinking about what's coming next, or, you know, or just they got to keep doing. They don't know how to, like, take a moment, look at the crowd, you know, give them the recognition so that they know what's going on. One of the things that I remember going through with Charlie Morgan when she was, you know, brand new and just starting with us, was when she was going to do the first balcony dive. I said, don't just climb, though. I said, look at the audience, look at the balcony, look at the audience. Take that mic, because then you've told them. You don't need to, like, point up to the balcony and be over the top, you know, because what's the performer what the mentality of the character is, looking at looking at their opponent, looking at the audience, looking at the balcony. Okay, I've gone through all of this. What can I do to put them away? Fucking jump off the balcony. Yeah. They're not jumping off the balcony because it's fucking cool.
Yeah.
They're jumping off. The cool part is a byproduct. Mm. They're jumping off the balcony in an attempt to do something to win the match. Yeah. They are taking it. They are taking a giant risk because of everything that they've done so far, whether it be because they haven't been able to beat them or because they really want to fucking take them out. you don't need to be over the top cheesy and go, shall I, and go to the point, but there is a place for shall I. You know, but you don't need to do that, because you've got to think of where's the character, what's the mentality of the character and what they're doing right now. But a lot of people will just be like, and now I'm going to go to the, and I've seen people do balcony dives where they've just gone running up and then dive off the balcony. What the fuck? You know,
doesn't mean anything.
At the moment, tell the story. Why are you doing it? What are you doing? Mm. And that comes with time. And so, yeah, it's just like you're trying to get those kind of things, you know, at the same time of this is a show where a number of people will try to treat you like you're a finished product and you're not a finished product. So it's learning on the job constantly.
Yeah.
And you're trying to teach them, like, you know, understand why you're doing that. Don't just do it. Understand why you're doing it and try to tell them and understand the difference between storyline and angles, because angles doesn't necessarily mean, like, I see so many indie shows and they're just doing angles. There's no storyline attached. It's just angles, you know, and understand the difference between angles and story. Understand the difference between a character and just having a promo where you're attacking the fans, or you, do you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't mean you've got a character at all. The thing that I tell every wrestler is you should be able to write the autobiography of the character that you're performing as.
Gosh, that's great. Because
you should know why they react the way they act, because that also helps with the improv nature. The improv nature of wrestling is sadly being diminished by too much, you know, rehearsal, and that is a negative for the audience, because the improv nature of wrestling is also based on giving the audience what they're responding to, but you need to do it in a way that makes sense for the character. So you're not just doing it because the audience are responding like this, we're just going to fucking do it. Well, make it make sense for the character. And then also, the more the character makes sense to the audience, the more they're going to want more of what makes sense of the character anyway. And you'll know how to react to it. Mm. Why does your character walk the way they walk? Why do they talk the way they talk? Why do they use the words that they use? You know, like, these are all the things. And when something goes a little bit wrong, because you know everything about your character, you'll know how they would respond. So we won't just suddenly see like a sneak peek behind the curtains because you get lost, which happens and also is going to happen anyway, because again, you're learning on the job. Mm. You only learn, but you know, you make your mistakes. Making your mistakes makes you better. And nobody should ever be afraid of making mistakes. That's another thing. Always be, you know, always, you know, every promoter should let their talent know it's okay to fuck up.
Mm.
You know, that is a super, super, super important thing that I think every promoter should let their talent know. But yeah, like, understanding like the character aspect is such an important thing that most people don't, because it is the hardest part of wrestling. Mm. You're in the moves and everything. You can go to training every week and you can practice moves. How do you find your voice? How do you find your character? How do you learn? And that's why I would say, like, find the character that makes sense for you, write their autobiography so that you know your character like the back of your hand. And so you're able to respond as your character would respond, and you won't just suddenly like lose it in the moment, you know? And because then you find it. And also make sure that the character is a bit more three-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean everyone has to be fucking Raven, which everyone in the early 2000s on the indie scene was just like, I'm going to be Raven or I'm going to be Steve Austin. And you just don't want to pay for gear. Or whatever, you know, it wasn't that famous, obviously. You know, like, but, you know, think of a character, think of something that we can get into. Think of something that the second you make your entrance for, whether you're a wrestling fan or you're not, they can look at you and go, oh, I understand that.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you make yourself Doink the Clown, you know, but if everyone on the show is just normal wrestler, you know, in gear, then you're all doing the same character.
Because
there's nothing that's telling us anything different about you.
You need to have that anchor, don't you? As like a character, something for people to grasp onto, like, I get the nucleus of who you are.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
One of the things that works for Sapphire is her age. That's another thing behind Sapphire. What works for Sapphire is her age.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a key part of the story. Yeah. She's only 19. It's the same thing with Billy Starks. The thing that people, Billy has now got to find the next part of her character, because for so long, her character has been that she's still in school. And she's doing this wrestling. And isn't that amazing? Because it was amazing. And I think that because that was real, it was a character that we could all, you know, jump on the back on and understand, because we've all been to school and we call them. And then we're seeing how hard she's working and how good she's getting. And she's traveling all the world. but she's also getting like the most top grades in school. I freaking didn't get top grades in school. I was out of school by my 13th birthday, you know, like, so, but that was something. Now Billy's left school. So yeah. Now we're going to learn, you know, what's, you know, we've got to learn next for the evolution of Billy Starks.
What's that hook for her now? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and, but these are great, you know, elements of the characters that, you know, that I'm talking about. But these are all elements that make a larger character overall, and I've been going on for fucking hours.
Dan, can we do this every week? It's bloody interesting.
It's fascinating.
It's going to be a two-part fucking interview.
I think now would probably be a good time to slip into our sillier questions.
Advertising the fucking show?
Yeah. Yes, that too.
We'll go sillier questions and then we'll advertise some shows. So, yeah. You know, as a listener, you'll know what's coming. Dan, what is your favourite pizza topping?
Pineapple. Fuck
controversy.
Yeah. Fuck everyone. Pineapple.
It's gone straight out.
There's been a couple of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But pineapple. I love fruit. So if you ask me what's my favorite thing in like curries, pineapple. Mm. I like pineapple, I like fruit. Mm. So
interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, what are the go-to snacks when heading to the corner shop?
Ah, right. So this is actually a difficult question for me. And I'll tell you the reason why. I have just recently been diagnosed with kidney disease and liver disease.
Oh my goodness.
So my whole fucking thing is my whole world's been turned massively upside down. So the corner shop now, I don't know. Look, anyone that's seen me, I was a fat fuck, right? Like, I'm not going to apologize. I like food, right? Like, that's what's so difficult. But it's one of the things. Do you remember
right
the movie
you.
School of Rock with Jack Black, and someone picks and it says about him being just like, "No, man, I love food." Same, dude. Right. So, and I didn't eat loads, but I ate crap. You know, even like I was vegan for 7 years. I even found the crap vegan food. And I was vegan is super healthy. No, man. There's so much good unhealthy vegan food out there, bro.
100%.
Yeah, right. And so I don't know what's in what I can. I don't. There's not a lot in a corner shop that
I can have now.
And I've gone very literal with the question, sadly.
So is that just to confirm you're okay? That's something that can be managed, I'm guessing, that condition.
Managed.
Good. Okay. Good to hear.
Managed. Yeah. It is what it is, but managed. You know, it's just it's a massive, you know, change.
Yeah.
So, and it's a fairly recent thing as well. So I'm still trying to get. It's one of those things where like you'll I'll be asked a question like I was at my friend's bakery the other day, and they were like, "What if we made you this with this? Could you have?" Because they're the sweetest people. Could you have that? And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm quickly like putting into Google, "Can I have?" And then I'll get one website up that says yes, and one website up that says no. And it's just like, I don't know. And it's so hard trying to find the things where everyone says yes, and you know. Because it'll be usually as well, it'll be like an American website will say one thing and a UK website will say another.
So true.
You know, so yeah, that's a rough one to sadly answer. Because I'm literally just thinking about the corner and all the stuff that I would get. Like I said, I'd mainly just go to the chocolate. I would get. I love dark chocolate as much. I still try to stick away from dairy as much as I'm not vegan. I don't really have dairy at all. So anything dark chocolate, I would basically go for. So there you go. Mint dark choc. Something that is
nice.
Mint dark choc.
We got to ask that question, Gareth. Yeah. The amount of times that we ask that and it causes people pain.
It's interesting. The food ones generally are the one that elicit just such like interesting and or long responses as well.
I was there for the fucking pineapple on pizza. Yeah. I gave you the pineapple on the pizza.
So yeah. I won't be able to like palm off any of my baking that I bring to shows on you anymore.
Oh, probably not. Yeah, this is. Do you know what, man? Nina Samuels.
Yeah,
she just started. Like she bakes and she was bringing the stuff backstage anyway. She was baking for ages before and it was great. Bless. Right, I'm gonna make. She probably hate me for this because the truth of the matter is Nina is one of the loveliest people. Anyone that knows me on show days, I'm super stressed. I barely eat or drink anything. And Sam would be one of the people that would come up to me, like when she'd get there, she'd go, "Have you eaten or drunk anything yet?" Yeah. And I'd be like, it depends on what I was doing at the time as to whether or not I'd give an honest answer.
Yeah.
Because I know what I knew what was coming next. Because if I, you know, so I'm like, "No, right, here. Or she goes, "Right, I'm going to the shop. What do you want?" You know, so suddenly not be able to have Sam's baking when she just does the most delicious. And now she started selling it, obviously, as well outside, because everyone was just like, "It's so good. Why don't you sell it?"
Mm.
It's like, "Oh, all right then." You know, so she pops up in Nina Sam's bakery, you know, and so to miss that now is heartbreaking, I tell you.
Right, let's move on from food, goddammit. Hobbies or interests outside of
Ghostbusters,
yes.
So really what it is I love the entertainment industry as a whole. My son is the same as me. We're both really interested in the entertainment industry as a whole, of which wrestling is a byproduct of, and I think that's where a lot of my wrestling interest comes from. So whereas everyone's like following the wrestling, you know, ratings and quarters, don't get me wrong, I am a WrestleNomics Patreon. I get all of those deals because it's my business too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's important for me to look and to see what people are liking or what people aren't liking. But it'd be ignorant of me to not see that in the real world as well, and to see what people are reacting to or people. So my hobby is somehow related to my work, sadly. But I really follow television and specifically film, because I don't watch it. There's no television series really that I watch. There'll be the odd one here and there that I watch. But I like film, and I don't have time to watch both series and movies.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I make my pick at movies.
Yeah.
So like, I'm a Cineworld Unlimited card holder. I went and saw the new Turtles film yesterday.
I've been hearing good things.
It's all right. It's all right. You know, I'm an old school like, it's not 1990, you know, and I preferred the 2007 animated film. But it's like, for me, it's the number three and easily the number three best movie. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it. Solid 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, like the week before I did the Barbenheimer double, I went and saw Talk to Me on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm huge on films,
yeah,
and following
the
impact of those films and who the audiences are and what the budgets were versus what they're generated and how and where they got this and where's that. And does everything have to be Skittles Taste the Rainbow to get the bad guys, you know, killed like it was in Shazam? Spoilers. But like, you know, yeah. So those are like my, you know, Ghostbusters is, you know, is like, I fucking adore. I've spent way too much money on Ghostbusters stuff. Film in general and the entertainment industry, I really, really, really love.
Very good. And I suppose there's an offshoot of that then, quite a stray offshoot, but are you a karaoke fan? And if so, what's your song?
I'm not a karaoke fan.
With a gun to your head?
Huh?
With a gun to your head? What's
your go-to?
I don't know. My wife is right in front of me. Emily, what would it be? I'm singing Wonk Unit a lot at the moment.
Well, yeah, no, it's no good because every song that we like singing along to is not going to be on a karaoke machine.
Yeah, no, because
we had this problem when we were at the pub. Karaoke night now, we've discovered, is people who can sing.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if you can.
No. Terrible.
It's like, it's not like karaoke night like it used to be anymore. It's fucking semi-pros.
Drunk and yell and do our best. Oh my god, I know what we would do.
What would we do?
We'd do Bryan Adams and Mel C, baby.
That's,
oh, he loves that song.
I do.
He bought the album,
I like
on and the single.
I bought the single first and then the album,
obviously.
Yeah,
you bloody loved it.
I did
be Mel C for you. Well, I can probably do it. I can't, but I would try.
Yeah. Other than that, anything by Prodigy that doesn't have lyrics.
you can boogie up there.
Smash the fuck out of that. Yeah, most of the kids, this thing, like, we're big. A lot of people think that the punk thing's fake. It's not. That's who we fucking, like, my wife, especially, my wife got me on into that. Like, we were at Wonkfest at the weekend, which is just sadly seemingly the last one. I don't believe it is. I reckon Alex will do another one. I think he just needs a few years off to recharge, bless him. No, a lot of the, like, we go see, we see a lot of, I should have said this as well, we see a lot of bands. We're big into, into that, and it's like, so we went, we were at Signature Brew the week before, seeing Made of Ace, Rum Kicks, sadly, was the other band that you, but it clashed with Wonkfest.
And I was like, I'll try and get it down to Brian. I was just going to do it. Yeah. I wasn't going to tell you, but I was just going to be like, man, I'm stuck in Brighton. But all of the...
That wouldn't be the first time we got stuck in Brighton after our own show in Brighton.
But the train strikes.
And yeah.
Rum Kicks are an amazing band from
Korea.
They're so cool. Their music, I bloody love it. It's just happy and noisy and great. But yeah, Wonkfest was on. We couldn't miss.
We couldn't miss Wonkfest. So, like, a lot of the stuff that like we're all singing at the moment is wonky in it. But like my favorite band's actually Iron Maiden, which is so the others. So you'll often actually in the house, although it won't be in a karaoke, you'll hear any of us because we all like Maiden. Me and the kids especially. Yeah. Like you'll hear us like just randomly singing Maiden tracks.
It was adorable. We went to our first family gig. We went to see Maiden.
That's so sweet.
I cried just because I was stood. They were in front of me, kids. And I cried watching Dan and the kids, and they were singing, and the kids' eyes were so wide. I like Maiden. They love Maiden, and I love music and live music and how it brings.
It's so special.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like with Eve, with for me trying to create the atmosphere on Eve. Mm. That's what I wanted. I wanted people to feel that like magic atmosphere.
Yeah.
And wrestling, because none of my friends liked wrestling. So I was like, I want to get them to see what I like. So I want to put all of those elements in and have that. That's what I wanted. So that was like one of my things with Eve. There are other more depressing reasons. I'm gonna pop off now.
Little bonus Emily Reed segment.
Yeah.
Thanks for popping in.
Ask us what the time is. We'll tell you how to build a watch.
Well,
that's all right. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the time, we have kept you an awfully long time. Much
more. We said half hour. We've done 55 minutes.
Yeah, we have. Sorry about that.
To be fair, it's me talking for 54 minutes. and every now and then, you guys would attempt to say something and I'd interrupt.
It's been a wonderful learning experience, though, because, you know, the stuff we. When do you ever get to talk to a promoter? So, you know, to hear that aspect of it has been.
It's getting that inside, you know.
I feel like I've just mainly just shat on people.
That's okay. We take a bit of that. Everyone always says we're too positive, so we need a bit of that as well.
Oh, I'll fucking bring the other side of that. Jesus Christ.
We got to promote some stuff, though, because there's shit tons going on. There's
some big shows coming up.
Should I hand the mic over to you, Dan? You tell us what's coming
when
up.
Is this going out? Do I bother about the Org
Today
show?
I will get this edited and out this evening.
Oh, fuck. Okay. So, so we got Sunday, August the 13th at the Yard Theatre. It's about 40 tickets left for that one at the moment. Don't have a card for that one at the moment, so I can't promote the card. But Marika Yoshida, who Marika Kobashi. It's because I've had Marika Yoshida matches playing on the background. Marika Kobashi. Makes her Eve debut. If anyone has watched Tega Joshi Pro over the last couple of years, they are freelance now. But Marika Kobashi will be on that show. I can't say who she's supposed to face because there's suddenly a transport issue.
Oh no.
And we're trying to get the transport issue. So at the time of recording, I don't actually know.
That's all right. That's one more person than we've got announced for All In, so you're okay. It's just the zeitgeist.
When even some of the talent don't know if they're doing that show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Marika Kobashi will make her Eve debut on Sunday, August 13th at the Yard Theatre in Hackney Wick. Alex Windsor is also on that show. Rita Slayworth, who is one of those people that we're kind of like referring to earlier, who is young in the wrestling business, but they've got such a great character and they identify. Like any person in the audience instantly gets Rita Slayworth. And so that means that you're in a position where you can put them in like with, they're most likely going to be against Sky Smithson, which is going to be a tremendous match.
What a great clash of personalities there.
Yeah, exactly. But also someone that Rita's going to like pick up from being in there, you know? But it's also because Rita is so character driven in that it's also a great person for Sky to be in the ring with and play off of and play with, you know?
Sky is one of my favorite people to see, like, improv stuff. Like, her just reacting to things is one of my favorite things in wrestling.
Oh, we refer to her as the Queen of the Yard. Because the Yard Theatre is almost like, is built for Sky. And because of the way she's able to improv And just, you know, really go back and forth with every single person in the audience. She's so over there. And so is Rita. So it's great to be able to do that match. So I'm really looking forward to that match. So there you go. You got one match out of me. But yeah, that show is Sunday, August 13th, about 40 tickets left. The Yard shows are special. It's kind of like posh Resgal. It's not posh, but it's just compared to Resgal, it is. But the atmosphere is incredible. It's also like a weird, especially during the summer, it's been like a weird party style atmosphere there. Amazing. As well, especially outside. It's really, really freaking cool there. We've really like made a hell of a home there. So if you haven't been to the Yard Theatre, you know, it's really worth seeing an Eve show, because the Chocolate Pro show is going to be completely different, so you can't compare those two. But the Eve shows at the Yard Theatre has really become something special. So Sunday, August 13th, that show is also going to be live. So if you're not London based or you can't get to London, all of our shows, you know, almost all of our shows stream live online. Yeah. Certainly the high majority of them. So, and that show is going to be streamed live as well over on our YouTube channel. So you just go to youtube.com/prowrestlingeve or watcheevewrestling.com. That'll take you straight to it. And then obviously we've got the double on August the 26th, one at the Yard Theatre, which is the Choco Pro live show. And then we've got the evening show, the Eve Cross Choco Pro show, you know, which I know, barring, like I say, there's just like two people that we're just waiting on some legality situations of. I know the cards obviously on both of those. I'm really excited.
Yeah,
it's been really cool to have been able to put these things together. And I am confident as well that what you're going to get is a true experience, you know, from it as well. And so yeah, I'm really, really looking forward. And again, if you know, you're not going to be able to get into the Yard Theatre show because that's going to be sold out. Oh, sorry, that is sold out. And if you don't already have tickets for August 26th, the Choco Pro Eve cross show, you want to hurry up and get it, because there's not a lot of tickets left. And I had to beg the venue to see if there was anything we could do to get like some extra tickets or whatnot.
We thank you for that, because we were slow off the market and swept up three of those bonus tickets.
Right, got you. Yeah, the tickets that are out there now, they have told me there is no way that they're going to allow me to do any more than what we've done.
Man.
This will be the most packed any wrestling show in the Dome historically has ever been.
Incredible. I feel like I've been some packed shows there, so I'm interested to see just how, you know, they'll be hanging from the rafters.
Well, did you see that we took away a row of seats?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so we took a row to get extra people in. We took away a row of seats around three sides of the ring so that we could, because obviously you can get more standing than you can seated. So we took away like three sides of seats so that we can get more people in the building. And we basically, the venue always hold on to X amount of tickets. It's kind of like, it's not like a reserve, but it's like in case there's a shitload of people that you suddenly have in your crew, so that the venue isn't over, you know, capacity. Yeah. So I've literally had to tell all the wrestlers, I've just put in like all the private wrestler groups, don't fucking come to me going, oh yeah, I'm going to pop along to you. No, you ain't fucking popping along to the show, because these are, you know, we have to account for every crew member and person that is on so that the venue doesn't go over. And we are going to run to a very small crew, you know, on that one. The place is going to be packed.
I think it's going to be a pretty special day.
Yeah, and there's still, so like, this isn't going to be one of those where there's a giant crew attached. There's no, there isn't. So, and there's, you know, if you haven't got tickets, you need to get the tickets. So evewrestling.com for tickets. And also you can click watch on there. That'll take you straight to our YouTube channel, and you can watch the shows live there as well.
All the links Dan mentioned will be in the show notes for ease of access. They're just one click away, people. Get those tickets, become a member on YouTube, you know, do all the things, come to all the shows.
Dan, one last question before you go. Just for the theme of All In Weekend, Pro Wrestling Eve runs Wembley Stadium. Who's in the main event?
Um,
Right, I'm a promoter, mate. So sadly, I'm an analytical promoter. So my brain doesn't go to who's in the main event. My brain goes to, okay, so I'm going to need a fair amount of time to promote this. So, and who's going to be around at that point, realistically, that I'm going to be able to rely on? Because there's a chance that it'll probably get signed then at that point. My brain don't work. My brain breaks everything down and makes it business.
I'm nipping in again, another bonus, Emily, because I just wanted to say about, to let people know how Dan's mind works. My husband.
That's the same guy, Dan.
Same guy, Dan. He cannot lie. He just doesn't.
Hey, baby. Calm down.
That's my excited dog in the background. So Dan does not lie. The best example I have of what he's like as a person is I've got tattoos on my ears. Mm. And I came home and I was like, look at these. Do you like them? And he looks, he takes a moment and he goes, no. And so
well, that doesn't matter. I don't
know, because the thing
it's
is
that you like him, that's what's important,
and
to
you
me.
Love me. He exactly. This man loves me so much, and it's just I'm not sure what I've done to deserve that, but I'm into it. But the thing is, I jokingly said that's not how you're meant to reply, and just laugh, because I know that it doesn't affect how he feels about me, that he doesn't like my ear tattoos. But in Dan's head, he was like, I responded wrong, I'll think on this. And the next day he stopped and went, okay, Emily, here are the reasons why I don't like your ear tattoos. And he gave me a list of reasons, and I just couldn't stop laughing. But that's Dan. So if anyone's like, oh, there's this or it's that, and he doesn't mean that. No, he does. If he said it, that is what he thinks. And if you make a correction or you disagree, he will think on it. He likes people who disagree with him. And he will think on what you've said, and he'll decide like, oh, no, maybe I was wrong, or I've thought on that. Or you know what? No, I still think this, and here are the reasons why. It's what makes him wicked, and it's why he can't answer who am I going to main event, because his brain don't work like that.
Full respect. Yeah,
I am on the spectrum to the shock of absolutely nobody after that.
Oh, wow. This has been the best. Thank you very, very much, Dan. We've had a really good time, and I hope you have too. And I'm sure everybody listening will have learned an awful lot. So,
I can answer it.
Oh,
a rumble.
Yeah, there we go.
Now we're talking. Yeah.
I just get everyone in.
Yeah.
There
we
go.
Perfect. Thanks, Dan. We look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you. Cheers for doing this, and apologies I took up the don't think we spoke about it. Did we actually answer any of the questions that you had planned or not?
A fair few of them, but we got enough for a part two at some point, so yeah. You know.
And we're back, and that was the lovely Dan Reed and bonus Emily.
Indeed, yeah, no, absolutely fantastic stuff. I really, really enjoyed that. It's so... You know, we've been very, very lucky on this podcast to get to speak to lots of wrestlers from lots of different areas, you know, wrestlers in Japan, wrestlers in the States, you know, getting those different looks, if you like. But this is the first time I think that we've spoken to a promoter, and there's a whole different perspective that comes with that. And that's been really, really, really interesting. So, yeah, big ups to Dan and indeed Emily for coming on. We really do appreciate that.
And we're really pumped for the run of shows they got coming up. Like Dan said, on the Sunday the 13th, they've got a show coming up at the Yard. And then the two biggies on the Saturday the 26th, in the shadow of Wembley and All In. We've got a Choco Pro show, and then we've got Eve crossover with Choco Pro. Some great talent are going to be on those shows. You know, can't wait to see the Choco Pro folks and all the UK people as well.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be a party. I really can't. I can't wait.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how some of the Eve regulars interact with the wild folk from Choco Pro.
You can imagine like a Sky Smits and Che face off or, you know, something like that. I think it'd be wonderful. So, yeah, I can't wait. There's if you're coming to those shows, let us know. Yes. You know, we'd love to say hello to you and, you know, have a chat. And I think we're going to have an absolutely great time. So really, really, really looking forward to it. It can't come quickly enough, quite frankly.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm thinking this is probably going to be my last hurrah in the UK for some time.
God, don't bring me down, for goodness sake. Anyway, let's rock and roll before I start crying. We're on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, at WrestlingPod. That's wrestling without the E. WrestlingPod.com has all the links you could possibly need if you wanted to share this podcast around or leave a rating or a review on your podcast platform of choice. That helps us massively, helps secure interviews like this one. So if you wouldn't mind, we'd be super duper grateful for that. You can also send us an email. We're at wrestlingpod@gmail.com. Again, wrestling about the E. G Money, talk to them.
You know, you can find us at wrestlingpod.com. It's got the link tree for all of our Twitter, direct Twitter links, our Instagram link, Patreon, our Ko-fi, you know, ways to support us financially, keep the lights on, pay for translation services, pay for the web hosting, all that good stuff. It would be, you know, most welcome, you know, if you could kick just, you know, even the smallest amount in, it all goes a long, long way, and we'd really appreciate it.
100%. All right, folks, we're going to leave you there. Hope you enjoyed that one. Let us know your thoughts through the channels we've already mentioned. And in the meantime, stay happy, stay safe, and enjoy the grabs.